Okay, the title of the sermon this morning is Growing in Goodness, and this is week six of our study through 2 Peter, Growing in Goodness, and as I said, we're going to take a break for a few weeks before we come back to 2 Peter. But I want to start off with a question that you may have thought of before, may not, but I don't want it to be kind of a scary question for you, but it has to do with death. But if you died today, how do you want people to remember you? If you died today, how do you want people to remember you? What kind of reputation do you want people to have among the people in your life? Think about your children and think about your spouse and grandchildren, co-workers, fellow church members, neighbors. What do you want them to say about you, honestly, to think about you, to feel about you after you die? Well, there's a story in the Bible that tells us how we should all want to be remembered. As Christians, this is the way we should all want to be remembered, the same way that she was remembered. The story is in Acts chapter 9, and it's about a church in the city of Joppa. And Joppa is a city in Israel. It's northwest of Jerusalem on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And the church in Joppa had a member of that church, and her name was Tabitha. And Tabitha, she got sick and she passed away. She died. And so the other disciples, they sent some people to go find the Apostle Peter and to come back and to see if he could heal her, to raise her back to life. And so Peter did. He came back to Joppa and he raised her back to life. It was a magnificent miracle. But I want you to notice how Tabitha was remembered after she died. I want you to notice her reputation in the church. It says in Acts 9, picking up with verse 36, "In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas." We're going to call her Tabitha. "She was always doing good works and acts of charity. About that time she became sick and died. After washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men to him who urged him, 'Don't delay in coming with us.' Peter got up and went with them. When he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs, and all the widows approached him, weeping and showing him the robes and clothes that Dorcas had made while she was with them." Now, how was Tabitha remembered? Well, it says in verse 36, it says that she was always doing good works and acts of charity. And then later on in the passage, it gets more specific and tells us some of the types of good works and acts of charity that she was doing. She was helping the widows in the church. She was making clothes, some robes and clothes for the widows. In fact, she was such a blessing to her fellow church members that when she passed away, the widows, it says, were weeping. They were weeping. Not for her, but for themselves, because they had lost such a wonderful person who was such a blessing in their life. It's been said that when you were born, you cried and everybody else rejoiced. Live in such a way so that whenever you die, you rejoice, but everybody else cries. And they're not crying for you or for your soul, but they're crying because of how much of a blessing you were and how much of a loss it is to lose you. And that's the way it was with Tabitha. She was so devoted to good deeds, so devoted to good works, that people were weeping whenever she died. And so that phrase, always doing good works and acts of charity, that's how you and I should want to be remembered. Now, there may be other things that we want to be remembered by, but that in and of itself should be something that as Christians, all of us are known for. Not just when we die, but even as we live. Think about it today. If you died today, is that what your reputation is among church family, among your family, your immediate family, among your coworkers and classmates? Are you known as a person who always does good works and acts of charity? That's how we should be remembered. That's how we should want to be remembered. And so we're going to talk about what to do in our lives so that we can be remembered that way. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we're looking at a list of eight virtues or Christ-like character traits. And we've made it to the quality or the virtue of goodness this morning. And so we're going to look in more depth into what goodness is and how to cultivate it. But I want to read that passage with you. This is a wonderful passage that just lists all these qualities that we're supposed to, that are supposed to define us and describe us and characterize us as Christians. It says in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. Goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." So eight virtues there. The first one is faith. We looked at that last Sunday. Faith, if you remember, is confidence in God that He is who He says He is and that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. Faith is confidence in God. And then today we're going to look at goodness, the very second quality or virtue in that list. Now, what is goodness? Now, goodness is not the same thing as being morally upright. A lot of times when we use the word good, that's what we're talking about. When we say he's a good boy or he's a good man, we're talking about somebody who is well-behaved, somebody who is morally upright. But the Bible has words for morally upright, such as upright and righteousness and purity and holiness. But the word goodness, when the Bible says that she was doing good works, doesn't mean she was being pure in her character. It's talking about something different. And really, the best definition comes right from that verse, Acts 9:36, about Tabitha, where it says she was always doing good works and acts of charity. That's the definition of goodness. Somebody who is always doing good works and acts of charity. And so when you think about goodness, think about good works, good deeds, acts of charity. Think about somebody who's a do-gooder, always doing good deeds. Goodness is the quality of being helpful, being somebody who's helpful. You're always ready and willing to lend a helping hand. Wherever you are, you're a helpful person. In fact, that's the actual definition of charity in the dictionary. It's voluntarily helping people in need. And so that's what good works is all about. You're voluntarily helping people in need. You're always a helpful person. You know, some people never help anybody but themselves. They're all about self-help, but they're not about helping other people. They don't lift a finger or exert any effort to help anybody else but themselves. If they do help somebody, their question is always, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? But that's not what God has called us to be. That's not goodness. Goodness is always being helpful, ready and willing to lend a helping hand. Goodness is also the quality of being a servant. It's about being a servant, servant-hearted, servanthood. It's the quality of always looking to serve others rather than always looking for others to serve you. Some people don't serve anybody but themselves. They're self-serving. Again, if they serve somebody, they're looking for recognition or reward. They're looking for praise, adulation. Whenever they serve somebody, they announce it to the world. Hey, everybody, look at me. I just served somebody. They call up the TV station. They call up the photographers. Everybody take a picture. They post it on Facebook. I did a good deed yesterday. I helped somebody yesterday. And that's not goodness. Goodness is about being a servant. It's not about you. And it's about living to serve. And that's what Jesus did. You know, if anybody deserved to be served, it was Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus deserved to be served, waited on hand and foot. But Jesus said in Mark 10:45, look at this. He said, "For even the Son of Man," speaking of himself, "even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then on another occasion, Jesus told his disciples that the true definition of greatness, the true definition of success in life, is defined by servanthood. He said this in Matthew 20:26, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." So greatness in God's eyes, success in God's eyes, is about being a servant. It's about good works, goodness. In Mark 9:35, Jesus talked about what it means to be a leader, what it takes to be a good, a Christian, godly leader. He said it's all about servanthood. He said if anyone wants to be first, that is, first in authority, the leader. If anyone wants to be first, he must be last and servant of all. And so what defines a great leader is servanthood. Galatians 5:13 says, serve one another in love. All of us are called to be servants. So goodness is about good deeds, good works, always doing good works and acts of charity. It's about being helpful. It's about being a servant. Goodness is also about carrying others' burdens. Carrying others' burdens. It's about being a burden carrier. Look what it says in Galatians 6:2. It says, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love. So he says, carry one another's burdens. What's a burden? A burden is a problem that's too heavy for somebody to carry on their own. A burden, think of a burden as an overwhelming burden. An overwhelming load, an overwhelming problem that is just too big, a crushing problem that's too big for somebody to carry on their own. And when you see somebody with a burden, somebody with a problem that's too big for them to handle themselves, God has called you to do good works, to be a person of goodness. That is to step in and to help them carry their burden. Now, as we look through the Bible, we can see a lot of different examples of goodness and how goodness is worked out in everyday life, because there are a zillion different ways of practicing goodness, of doing good deeds, of doing good works. There's so many different ways. Let's look at some of those ways. I'll just run through these in the Bible. John 10:32, Jesus talked about his own good works. He said, I have shown you many good works from the Father. Well, and the good works that he's referring to there are his miracles, casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead. And so one form of good deeds or good works is helping sick people. Okay, if we go back to the story of Tabitha, in Acts 9:39, it says she was making robes and clothes for the widows. And so goodness can also mean meeting the needs of the poor and the needy. In Acts 20, Paul was reminding the Ephesian elders that when he was with them, even though he had the right as a pastor, as a church leader, to accept a salary from the church, to receive donations from the church to pay for his needs, that he opted out of that right to set an example for the church. And he was a tent maker. And so this is what he says in Acts 20:35. He says, you yourselves know that I worked with my own hands to support myself and those who are with me. In every way I've shown you that it is necessary to help the weak by laboring like this and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, because he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so one form of goodness is simply working hard, having a good job, holding down a good job, working hard, making a good salary so that you can provide for your own needs and don't have to mooch off of others. And then so you have enough left over to be able to help others in need. That's one form of goodness, Paul is saying. And then we see 1 Timothy 6:17-18, Paul instructed Timothy. He said to tell the rich people to be rich in good works. He said this in 1 Timothy 6:17-18, instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share. And so goodness here is connected with generosity, with sharing what you have, sharing your extra, if you will, with those who are in need. Here's another form of good works or goodness. 2 Corinthians 1:4, it says this of God. I love this verse. He comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You've probably heard the saying that we are blessed to be a blessing. And that's what this is saying, that God comforts us in our affliction, not just so that we can feel better and make it through our affliction, but so that we will have the strength to go and to comfort others who are going through something similar, others who are afflicted. The word affliction means something that causes pain and suffering. And so a good deed or goodness, part of goodness, can mean comforting those who are experiencing pain and suffering, comforting people. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul describes the qualities that a widow in the church must possess in order to be put on the church support list. Now, this would be hard for us to fathom in the 21st century and in a land of entitlement. But in the first century church, Paul said not every widow should receive support from the church. She must possess these qualities. Look at what he said in 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 10. He said, "No widow is to be enrolled on the list for support unless she is at least 60 years old, has been the wife of one husband, and is well known for good works." And now he's going to mention a few good works. The first one might surprise you. "And is well known for good works." That is, if she has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, helped the afflicted, and devoted herself to every good work. So Paul says for a widow to qualify for support, she needs to be devoted to goodness, needs to have a reputation of somebody who is always doing good works and acts of charity. And he mentioned several. He says, first, that goodness can mean bringing up children. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't just mean popping out babies. That's not a good work. Goodness means being, goodness can be defined by just being a devoted parent. A devoted parent. A devoted and responsible parent. You know, whenever you are a devoted and responsible parent, you are doing a really good deed. First of all, you're really a blessing to your children if you're a devoted and faithful parent. I mean, think about how much of a blessing you are to them. And then, not only that, but you are a huge blessing to the church, because that child is going to grow up and be a great blessing to the rest of the church. But also, whenever you're a devoted and responsible parent, the church doesn't have to step in and make up for your irresponsibility, and society as a whole doesn't have to step in and make up for your irresponsibility. And so that's the first way you can do good works, Paul says, is by being a devoted parent. And then he says goodness can mean hospitality. Hospitality. So if ever there's a fellow Christian who is in such a rough spot in life that they don't have a place to stay, like they don't have a place to lay their head, to sleep at night, they're homeless temporarily, that you can do a good deed by offering them temporarily a place to stay. And that's hospitality. Goodness can also mean, and this is one of the qualities of the widows, goodness can also mean meeting the needs of the people in your church. Paul says that a widow, to qualify for support, that she needs to be known for washing the saints' feet. And that's not literally talking about washing the saints' feet. That's a phrase that simply means she was serving the needs of her church family. If anybody in the church was in need and needed help, was struggling, suffering, was experiencing affliction, that she was helping out. And then finally, goodness can mean helping the afflicted. And once again, affliction means something that causes pain or suffering. So a good deed is helping somebody who is in pain or in suffering. Probably the most well-known example of good works in the Bible is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is one of my children writing. This is his favorite Bible story, or was at one time. And it's told in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. There was a Jewish man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and while he was on the road, he was attacked by some robbers, and it says that they stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead on the side of the road. And then a couple of people passed by, first a Jewish priest and then a Levite, but neither of them did anything. Neither of them stopped to help. But then a third person stopped, and it was a Samaritan. And the Samaritan is the one who stopped and helped. He had compassion on the man, on the victim. And what's so interesting about the story is that he's a Samaritan. And if you know anything about biblical backgrounds, you know that Jews and Samaritans hated each other, stayed away from each other, didn't want to have anything to do with each other. And yet of all the people who stopped to help, it was the Samaritan who stopped and helped this Jewish man. And it says in verses 34 through 37, notice the goodness that he practiced. It says that he went over to him and bandaged his wounds. That had to have been a messy job, by the way. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend." And so here we see that goodness can mean using your time, your money, your energy for someone who's in peril and in distress. And so we could go on and on, right? There are so many ways to practice good deeds and to practice good works and to be helpful and to be a servant. Goodness can be practiced throughout your day in so many different ways. One of the things that I want you to notice is that goodness is not an option for Christians. Being a good person, a person of goodness, is not an option. It's a command. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, we find the fruit of the Spirit, those nine virtues that we are to cultivate. But it actually says that these are nine virtues that the Holy Spirit who lives within you is working to cultivate. And one of those virtues is goodness. God within you is working to make you a person of goodness. In Galatians 6:10, we see a command here. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Anybody reading? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So Christ didn't merely save us so that we could go to heaven. That's part of it. But He saved us so that while we're here on earth, we can do good works. And He planned those good works long ago. 1 Timothy 2:10 talks about Christian women. It says that you're to give more attention to doing good deeds than to actually worrying about being physically pretty. The real attention ought to be given to being a woman of good deeds. 1 Timothy 5:9 through 11 talks about how a widow, remember we talked about this, for her to qualify for church support, she must be known and be devoted to good works. 1 Timothy 6:18, we looked at this one. It commands the rich to be rich in good works. Titus 2:7 says that church leaders are to set an example for good works, in good works. Titus 14 says this. Let me read it to you. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. So again, that's why God saved us, so that we would be eager to do good works. It's not just so that we would avoid adultery and murder and theft and stop cursing and stuff like that. God wants us to be actively people of goodness, people of good deeds. Titus 3:1, remind the church, Paul tells Titus, remind the church to submit to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And then Titus 3:8, this saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. These are good and profitable for everyone. Once again, we see the command. We are to be people of good works. This is a central virtue in the Christian life. Titus 3:14, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works for pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. How can you be productive with your life? How can you make something of your life so that you don't waste your life? Well, devote yourself to doing good deeds for those pressing needs. Hebrews 10:24 through 25 tells us, and I'm going to preach on this passage. This is my central passage for next Sunday. But it tells us that one of the purposes of the church, one of the reasons why we gather, is so that we can be encouraging each other to grow in good works. Look what it says. It says, and let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. One of the main things we're supposed to be getting out of church is encouragement to go out there and do good works. And so the Christian's call to goodness can be summarized in four words. Let me give you these four words. The call to goodness can be summarized with four words. The first word is rich. If you remember, 1 Timothy 6:18 says we are to be rich in good works. You know, we spend so much time and effort and mental energy trying to be financially rich. But the Bible says focus on being rich in good deeds. And that means we're not to be doing one good deed a year. Good deeds should permeate our lives. We should always be doing good deeds. The second word is the word eager. eager. Titus 2:14, if you remember, it says that we should be eager to do good works. The word eager means wanting to do something very much. And so that word speaks to our attitude toward good works. We're supposed to have a good attitude about good works. In other words, whenever we have an opportunity for good works and we feel like we should do it, we should get involved, we should help out, we should not do so reluctantly, we should not do so with a bad attitude. Okay, here we go again. I'll do it, but I don't feel like doing it, and I don't have to be happy about it, but I'll help you. But that we're to be eager to do good works. We're to really want to do them. Then the third word is the word ready. Titus 3:1 says we're to be ready for every good work. We're to be ready. In other words, as Christians, we never take a day off from good works and from good deeds. Now, I'm all about taking a weekly Sabbath, but even on your Sabbath, you should always be ready to do a good deed if an opportunity arises. To be ready means that we are always ready to serve any day, anytime, anywhere, anyone, in any way. We're ready and we're eager to do good works. And then the last word is devoted. The word devoted. It says in Titus 3:8, we're to be devoted to good works. And that word devoted speaks to the priority that good works have placed in our lives, that doing good works should be something that's very important to us. We should be actively looking for ways to be a blessing, to be a help, to serve others, to do good deeds. And so the Christian's call to goodness can be summed up in those four words. We should be rich in good deeds, eager to do good deeds, ready to do good deeds, and devoted to do good deeds or good works. So you can see that this virtue is very, very important to God. It's really emphasized. And why is that? Why is it so important or so emphasized that we as Christians should be people of goodness? Let me give you two reasons. The first reason is that goodness glorifies God. It glorifies God. If you remember, our purpose in life is to glorify God. That is, by the way that we live and by our actions and behavior and attitude, we are to show the goodness and greatness of God through the way we live, so that when people see us, they see, and they see, hey, that's a Christian. They see, oh, that's, God is wonderful. God is wonderful. Look what God has done through that person's life. And so we're to show the nature of God through the way that we live. And what is the nature of God? What is God like? Well, one of his qualities is goodness. God is good. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." And so for us to glorify God, we've got to be good. We've got to be people of goodness, helpful, servants, always doing good deeds and acts of charity. And then a second reason why goodness is important, why it's so emphasized in the Bible, is that it enhances our evangelism. It enhances our evangelism. So we're supposed to be witnesses out in the world. We're supposed to be reaching the lost for Christ. But for our words to be effective, they need to be backed up by actions, especially good actions, doing good deeds. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So if our lives are characterized by good deeds, then our evangelism is much more persuasive. Let me put it this way. People are much more likely to accept Christ if they see God in us rather than just hear about him from us. So we want God to see, we want people to see God in us, see God's goodness in the way that we live, and that makes our words much more effective. Now, what's in it for us? Are there any kickbacks? Remember, to be truly good, we're not focused on the kickbacks. We're just here to serve. We're just here to be helpful. We don't care about the rewards. We don't care about the applause. We don't care about the recognition. We're just here to help people. But the Bible says there are some kickbacks. There are some major benefits to being a good person. And the major benefit is heavenly rewards. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 6:18 through 19. We already read this, but this is when Paul is telling Timothy to instruct the rich to be rich in good deeds. He says, "Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share." Now notice the kickback here, the blessing. "Storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Now listen, it's very important to remember that we gain entrance into heaven not by good deeds, not by good works, but by faith. We don't put any faith for salvation in our good deeds, because if we got what we deserved, it would not be heaven. No matter how hard we try, we would be sent to hell. So we put all of our trust in the good work of Jesus Christ on our behalf on the cross. But what determines the size of our heavenly reward? The Bible says that our rewards in heaven will vary. And that depends on your good works. That depends on your good deeds. Now listen, heaven's going to be bliss no matter who you are if you go to heaven. But heaven, I think there will be joys that are indescribable. Your joy in heaven will matter or will vary depending upon your good deeds and your good works. So let's get practical and finish off by talking about how to cultivate goodness. Let me give you some principles here. How do you cultivate goodness? How do you grow to be a good person, somebody who's always doing good works and acts of charity? Let me give you 8 principles. Number 1, purify yourself from anything dishonorable. Purify yourself from anything dishonorable. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, "So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument, set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work." Do you have to be pure and holy in order to do good deeds? Well, the answer to that is yes and no. On the one hand, no. I mean, even a pimp, a drug dealer, a gangbanger can do a good deed. But if you remember what the purpose of good deeds is, the purpose of good deeds is ultimately to glorify God and to enhance our evangelism. So for your good deeds and your good works to truly glorify God and enhance your evangelism, it needs to be also backed up by a holy life. And so good deeds and a holy life need to be married. They need to go together. When a bad person does a good deed, people are helped. But when a righteous person does a good deed, God is glorified. And that's the ultimate goal. All right, number 2, the second way to cultivate goodness is to study the Bible. It seems like part of the application of every sermon is more of the Bible. You need to read your Bible. You need to study your Bible. You need to know and understand your Bible. And here's why. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable," it's beneficial, "for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness." Why? "So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And so if you want to be a person of goodness and grow as a person of goodness, you've got to know and understand the Bible. You've got to know the Word. Your understanding of the Bible needs to grow and grow and grow. Why? Because the Bible teaches us what good is. You cannot really do a good deed unless you know what good is. You can't just make up goodness, your own definition of goodness. In other words, the Bible tells us how to truly help people. When it comes to being a good person, doing good deeds, good intentions are not enough. What's that old saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. A lot of damage has been done in our country and in this world because of good intentions gone bad. People wanting to do good, but not being informed about how to do good, and they've caused disasters. So it's important that you know what good is. How do you really help people? And we get that knowledge from God's Word. It's not enough to want to help people. And it's not enough just to do something. You got to know what to do in order to truly help people, or you can actually hurt people in the name of helping them. And so Bible study is what turns good intentions into good works that help people and glorify God. Number 3, to grow in goodness, go to church. Remember, we talked about this in Hebrews chapter 10, that one of the purposes of the church is to motivate us to get out there in our daily lives and to be people of goodness. And so by being a regular attender, a regular participator at church, you're constantly being reminded, be a good person. Go out there and be helpful. Be a servant. Constantly do good works and acts of charity. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, "Let us watch out for one another to provoke, stir up, love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, So just by us getting together on a regular basis, we're motivating each other. We're staying motivated to be people of goodness. Number four, to cultivate goodness, don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think too highly of yourself. That is, by the way, one of the definitions of pride. Pride is simply when you think too highly of yourself. Galatians 6:2-3 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You're not that important. And so one of the reasons why Christians aren't as good as they should be, and people in general are not as good as they should be, is because of pride. Because you think you're too important, you're too high, you think a lot of tasks are beneath you, a lot of jobs are beneath you, you're too important, your life is too important, your schedule is too important for you to get your hands dirty, to stop what you're doing, and to help somebody in need. And so, don't think too highly of yourself. Remember, Jesus came as a servant. Jesus washed his disciples' dirty, stinky feet. And so we are supposed to be humble. No job is beneath us. No task is beneath us. No person is beneath us. We get down into the dirt with the hurting people, and we help them. Number five, to cultivate goodness, don't do good deeds for bad reasons. Don't do good deeds for bad reasons. A good deed for a bad reason is a bad deed. What are some bad reasons for doing good deeds? Well, two of them. One of them is personal glory, and the other is merit, trying to work your way to heaven. Let's look at these. Matthew 6, 1-4. Jesus said, and this passage will be familiar to you, he said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. In other words, it's okay to practice your righteousness in front of others. It's impossible not to sometimes, but don't do it to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward here on earth. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So two reasons not to give or not to do good deeds for personal glory. The first reason is that you'll lose your reward in heaven. You'll get the reward on earth, the reward of, you know, people praising you and being impressed with you, but you'll lose the eternal reward that never passes away. And then the second reason is that you'll miss many opportunities to serve. If your goal in serving is always to get some kind of kickback, to be seen by others, to be applauded by others, to impress others, you'll miss a lot of opportunities to serve, because most opportunities to serve go without notice, and they're not rewarding on this earth and in this life. And people won't clap for you, and the news TV station won't show up to videotape you and record you, and the newspaper won't show up to take your picture and post it online. It's not going to happen. And so you're going to miss a lot of opportunities to serve if you only do it whenever there's going to be a thanks or a reward of some kind. As well, the second bad reason for doing good works and good deeds is merit, is to try to earn your way to heaven. As I already mentioned, if you did your very best to be a good person for the rest of your life, you still will deserve hell, because you are a sinner and you've offended an eternal, infinite, holy God, and therefore your punishment will be eternal and infinite. Even though you've done all these good deeds, no matter how many good deeds you can't do, you can't impress God. If you do nothing but good deeds from now on for the rest of your life, you will only have done your duty. You won't have impressed God. And so we don't trust in our good deeds and good works. We trust in the sacrifice of Jesus for us. Ephesians 2, 8-9, for you are saved by grace. It's a free gift through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Number six, to cultivate goodness, don't drop your load to do good deeds. Don't drop your load. Now, that's some biblical language there. You'll understand in just a second. Don't drop your load to do good deeds. Remember, in Galatians 6:2, it says to carry one another's burdens. And that's a part of what it means to be a good person. That's what goodness is. It's being a burden carrier. But then, in a couple of verses later, Galatians 6:5, it says, for each person will have to carry his own load. So on the one hand, it says carry each other's burdens. But on the other hand, it says each person will have to carry each other's or carry their own load. What's that mean? How do you make these two fit together? Well, there's a difference between a burden and a load. Remember, a burden is a problem that's too heavy for somebody to carry by themselves. That's a burden. It's something that will crush them if they're just left to themselves. In fact, they are crushed underneath the weight of this problem. They need somebody to come and help lift that burden. Okay? Now, a load is different. A load simply refers to your personal responsibilities. For example, my load would be providing for my wife and children, providing for my family, being a good husband, being a good father, taking care of my parents, being a good pastor, being a good employee, being a good citizen, abiding in Christ, making sure I maintain a close relationship with Christ. Those are my responsibilities. Okay, that's my load. And so what Paul is saying here is carry each other's burdens, but you have to carry your own load. And so I must not drop my load, my responsibilities, to go and help somebody else carry their burden. Why not? Because if I drop my load to help somebody else lift their burden, then suddenly I become a burden. In other words, if I stop maintaining my marriage, and if I start taking good care of my kids, and if I stop providing for my family, if I stop being a good pastor, if I stop being a good employee and a good citizen so I can go over this here and do these acts of charity, well, then I've just caused a bunch of problems. So do not drop your load to carry someone else's burden. There's a difference between good works and first things. First things are priorities. Good works are good things. But first things refers to your priorities, and they are the best things. And so it's possible to be so devoted to good works, and you've probably been in this place before or have seen somebody do this. It's possible to be so devoted, so eager to do good works that you neglect first things. You neglect your marriage, you neglect your health, you neglect your finances, your kids. I've heard of pastors who were so devoted to their church, to their flock, that they lost their family. And that's an example of somebody who dropped his load to lift the burdens of other people. And you can't do that. You've got to carry your load while you're carrying the burdens of others. Number 7, be careful about carrying another person's load. Be careful about carrying another person's load. Remember what a load is. A load is somebody's responsibilities. And so whenever you're carrying somebody else's load, you're taking care of somebody else's responsibilities, things that they're supposed to be taking care of themselves. And so be careful that your good works don't consist of simply doing what somebody else should be doing for themselves. God has called you to help your neighbor, not to be your neighbor. So when your neighbor has a burden that they can't carry by themselves and you step in, that's called helping them. But whenever you start taking care of your neighbor's responsibilities, now you're trying to be your neighbor. You're doing those things that God has called your neighbor to do for themselves. And if you think about it, if you're carrying somebody else's load, why does God give us a load? Why does God give us responsibilities? Well, it's through those responsibilities, the daily carrying of those responsibilities, that God grows us. And also that we experience blessing. You know, I'm so blessed that I get to take care, as I take care of my family, as I work to be a good pastor, I receive a lot of blessing from carrying my load. And so whenever you carry somebody else's load, you're enabling them to be disobedient, and you're removing from them the blessing that they're supposed to be getting from God and from others by carrying that load. God wants to grow them through that process, but you're not helping them. Now you're enabling them to stay in a place of irresponsibility and laziness. So you have to be wise whenever it comes to helping people. And this is why Bible study is so important to be a really good person. All right, number 8, let me give you one more how to cultivate goodness. Play favorites. You have permission to play favorites. We tend to think that favoritism is so ungodly and so unbiblical. I want you to show you that you cannot do everything. You can't do every good deed. You can't help every person that needs help. You can't give your money to every good cause out there because your resources, your time, and your energy are limited. And so you have to pick and choose, don't you? You know, people are always asking for money. I mean, there's always some group of kids on the side of Ambassador Caffrey on Saturday morning who are asking for money. And so every time you go to Dollar General and you purchase something, which we go to Dollar General about 14 times a day, and you purchase something, and as you're leaving, checking out, they say, do you want to donate an extra dollar to such and such a cause? And when you go to work, your coworkers are saying, hey, would you like to buy some candy or buy this and that for my kid's school or for my kid's team? And so there's always opportunities to give your money, always opportunities to help out, and you can't do everything. So how do you pick and choose? You got to play favorites, and the Bible tells us how. It says, in first of all, we already mentioned this, first of all, your load comes first. And so you got to take care of your family, you got to take care of your kids, you got to take care of your parents. Your load comes first. But then in Galatians 6:10, it says to give special attention to the needs of your church family. Give special attention to the needs within your church family. Look what it says. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. So we're supposed to be do-gooders everywhere we go and to everyone we meet, but especially pay special attention, give special care to your church family. And it's just like this, that I am going to take care of the needs of my kids before I take care of the needs of somebody else's kids, right? I care about all kids, but I got to take care of the needs of my kids before anybody else's kids. The same way, this is church family. And so God wants you to care about everybody's needs, but pay special attention to church family. And there's one more way to play favorites. Titus 3:14. It says, give special attention to urgent needs or pressing needs. It says, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works for pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. And so you'll have to use your judgment as to what's a pressing need, what's an urgent need. But don't waste all of your time, money, and energy on non-pressing needs, because when you do, well, then you're not going to be available and have any resources left over for those urgent needs whenever they come your way. So give special attention to those urgent needs. You know, whenever your coworker asks you to buy candy for his kid's school, that's not an urgent or a pressing need. And you're welcome to do that if you want to, but that's not an urgent or a pressing need. Or whenever the kids on the side of the road are asking for money so they can take a trip to Disney World, that's not a pressing or urgent need. And so what that means is, just because you give to somebody who's asking doesn't make you a good person. And just because you don't give when somebody's asking doesn't make you a bad person. You've got to use your judgment. So it's a lot harder to be a good person than simply giving a dollar every time somebody has their hand out. You've got to use your judgment. You've got to use your wisdom. You've got to know the Bible. But most importantly, you've got to have the love of Christ in your heart and always being helpful, always being willing and ready to do good deeds, acts of charity, being a servant wherever you go. And so back to Tabitha as we close, or Dorcas. Some of you are looking for another name for a future kid that you're going to have, Dorcas. Dorcas was known for her good works. When she died, that's how she was remembered, always doing good works and acts of charity. What about you? If you died today, how would you be known by the people in your life? Is somebody who's always doing good works, acts of charity, or not? Maybe somebody who didn't touch the lives of others. God wants us to be a person of goodness, touching the lives of everybody we meet, being helpful, being a servant. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word this morning where you've called us to be people of goodness, do-gooders, wherever we go, Lord, not for our personal glory, but for your reputation. and because you love every person on this planet, and you want to express your love to them through us. So, Lord, we ask that you help us to have hearts of love, hearts of goodness, so that we'll be willing and ready to reach out as opportunities come our way, to help people, to serve, to carry people's burdens. We pray, Lord, that we would be a blessing wherever we go, at home and at work, at school, wherever we are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.